This is Firepower. Are you ready for rapid fire? We have a show for you tonight. We're going to cover some amazing topics, things that you need to know, and there's actually going to be a very important call to action. What is Tucker Carlson saying about the Bible? That's right. Tucker Carlson's talking about the Bible. He's talking about his faith. We're going to discuss that in just a moment. Also, why do children keep coming up? The issue of children. It's in movies. It keeps coming up, and there's a reason, and Mario Murillo is going to break that down in just a minute. Also, blue cities are literally making liberals turn on the woke. That's right. Liberals are getting mad. Liberals like Bill Maher. We're going to play a clip from him and much more about that subject. And then finally, what you need to know your role is in what God is doing right now. So get ready. We're going to go ahead and start with this clip from Tucker Carlson. I think you got to see this.
I'm clinging to the hope that elections still matter. I really want to believe that because I'm American in a very fundamental way. And so I believe in the actual mechanics of democracy. But leaving aside even elections, I think it's clearly a pivot point in history. And I don't think the issues that we debate and really are in some ways distractions are the core issues. There are forces, unseen forces, acting on people. And I thought, well, I'm just going to read the Bible. And no, I'm not going to do a Bible study. I'm a Protestant, so I feel like I have a right to kind of read it myself. And I'm sorry. I feel that way. And so I've been reading it since February, and I'm like about halfway done. And I haven't talked to anyone about it. And I haven't been in it, just been myself reading it. It's like the most interesting thing I think I've ever done, actually. Mm. It's unbelievable. The amount of drama in those books that has been hidden from me as a regular churchgoer in the Episcopal Church. Like, wait, why didn't you never mention this? This is like unbelievable. What? But the two things I have come away with after reading the entire New Testament, and I'm up to Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, it's like maybe the point is that God takes people who are not perfect people, not only not perfect people, like they're so imperfect again, I don't think I could have dinner with them, and uses them for these grander purposes. That's the first thing I notice. The second thing I notice is that people, while they have free will, of course, and they can make decisions and they live with the consequences of those decisions, they're not really in charge of the arc of history at all. They are being acted upon a lot.
Amen.
Okay. And I never really appreciated that because I'm American. And so I grew up with this feeling that we're the sum total of our choices. Well, that's not what I'm reading at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people's choices matter. You need to do certain things and not do other things. On the other hand, you are not in charge. You are being acted upon by a world you can't see. And that, by the way, is consistent with my life experience. It's really important to approach politics with that in mind. Like, a lot of these issues are symbols of this much larger battle.
Wow, a battle of light versus darkness. Hey, before we get into this with Mario, will you please help us by sharing this broadcast? We have a lot of censorship because of things we're talking about. So if you can help us share, we'd appreciate that. All right, Mario, Tucker's talking about the main thing. He says the Bible is the most interesting book he's seen. What do you get by all this?
Well, he's realizing there's an invisible war, and everyone that's watching needs to realize there is an invisible war. He says a lot there that I want to comment on, but I think we both need to get in on this, but I want to echo something you said. My friend, you are watching is going to be the most important show we've ever done. We're going to, every week we're learning something about what Firepower is, and we're getting better at it. And our communication is getting better. So here's what I want to tell you. You need to let someone know right now, share this video, share it, tell people Firepower is on live right now. And God is moving through this program. Every week it's been growing the audience and it's been amazing. And we're grateful to God. We're overcoming the censorship because you listen to what we say and you share it. So now let's talk about Tucker. He said there's something deeper going on, number one. Number two, he says the issues that everyone is talking about are not the important ones. You know, I have spent 2 years being a part of a political discussion that was online. And I was a part of it, and I started to realize that as an evangelist and a man that believes in divine healing, baptism in the Holy Spirit, that America needed a miracle. More than a political adjustment, Donald Trump cannot save America. We know that no man, no political party can save America. And Tucker, who was on Fox News all those years, involved in the political fray, decided to read the Bible. And that's when it dawned on him. And ladies and gentlemen, what dawned on him also dawned on Abraham Lincoln, because what you heard Tucker say is exactly what Lincoln was trying to say in his second inaugural address, where he realized that slavery was the judgment of God on the United States, that slavery was being judged by the Civil War, that slavery was evil and the war came, and that he said, it must be that the sword will draw for every drop of blood drawn by the lash, it must also be drawn by the sword. And he said, God is just in all his ways and righteous altogether. So here's the news tonight, what we're going to get into. There is a physical political battle and there is a supernatural battle for the soul of the United States. Those who are wise are going to realize that God is behind the way things are going right now. Now, he's not part of the evil. He's not part of the wickedness. He's not part of the insanity being done to children. But he is a part of an answer that's coming in a very unique way. One of the ways you can see it is that the Bible says he would turn them over to a lie, to believe a lie. So they're acting perverse, extreme, and it's literally like Haman. Haman built a gallows. God ended up hanging him on the gallows that he had built for the righteous. The unraveling of woke, the complete disintegration of the religious. Here's the areas. Let me just say this. There are three areas where God's hand is squashing things. First is woke. Second is entertainment Christianity. And in Christianity Incorporated, that's number two. Number three is the belief that politics are the answer for the United States. I believe in political activism. Todd and I have both been very concerned about registering you to vote, of understanding how to vote your conscience and go to the school board meetings and everything. But when you're faced with a giant like a Samson, and you're faced with a Goliath, excuse me, not Samson, but a Goliath. When you're faced with a Goliath, you need a divine answer. And that's what America needs. And I believe it's happening. So the important thing is to determine what's going on. Now, go ahead right now, Todd.
Let me just comment on what you just said, because I've been going around the country and I've been right. speaking at many of these quote unquote political events. And I'm just going to say this, I've seen more Jesus and Holy Spirit at some of these events than at some of the churches that I preach at. And so I know that the Lord has been up to something, but to your point, the political figures realize, I've had time with some of these folks, people that are in office right now, people that have previously been in office at high level, and they realize as well, Mario, that it can't be something that man does. There has to be a divine intervention here. And that requires the people of God to pull down the strongholds. We've got to understand Tucker Carlson has come to a point, and it's like what the scripture says, when you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Seek and you shall find. Tucker is somebody who's seeking. And when you seek, you're going to find. You're going to find the answers, just like every other person that's sought on that mission to find relationship with the God of heaven and earth. And he's come to understand that the battle is a spiritual battle. And the problem, I just want to say this because I think there's been an issue in the body of Christ where people have thought that other people are going to fight our battles for us, and that, you know, maybe Trump, maybe someone else, they're going to fight the battle for us. And the truth is that the people of God need to step up. We've got to be a people of action. And to your point with the children, you know, there's something going on with the children. The children keep coming up. And we've been talking about this last couple of weeks. Of course, they have the movie Sound of Freedom. But, you know, let's talk about this, Mario. Why do the children keep coming up? Well, there's a video from Celine Dion. Now, this is from 2018. But you got to see this because it's going to kind of color in the lines of how long this has been going on. It's been leading up. Let's go ahead and watch this video real quick.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm Celine Dion.
Our children, they are not really our children, as we are all just links in a never-ending chain that is life. For us, they are everything. But in reality, we are only a fraction of their universe. We miss the past. They dream of tomorrow.
We may thrust them forward into the future, but the course will always be theirs to choose. I can't believe they called security. I mean, oh, come on, I'm Celine Dion. I'm not spending the night in jail. Holy shit. Guys, relax, easy. I'm Celine Dion.
Yeah, girl, and I'm Beyonce.
I'm calling my agent.
Okay, first of all, 2018, this was accepted as an entertaining video. Entertainment Tonight in Canada said they congratulated Celine Dion for this commercial. They said it was quirky, it was interesting, and her coming out of her box made her more popular and beloved to people. That's literally what they said. Now, I want to tell you why 5 years later we dragged it out. Because it didn't happen overnight. The gender bending wasn't born yesterday. It's been a long time coming. But the reason I want to comment on it is the three things that she says. The first one is, our children are not our own. Our children do not belong to us. She said that 5 years ago. That has been the war cry of the left in every law that they've tried to pass to get rid of parents' rights. That's an anti-parent statement. Number two, she said, there is a new order coming. Our children are everything to us, but, and she says, but in their world, you are only a small percentage of their existence. And they're ready for something new. One of the babies had a black and white t-shirt on that said New World Order. Now, the important issue with that is to face this. That's the idea that children are evolving and that believing in gender fluidity is enlightenment. It is the future. That came in 5 years ago. But she divulges the devil's number one tactic, celebrity. We have to understand, she says, there's a part in the commercial, and again, we didn't have the narrative of the commercial. She says, you can't arrest me. I'm Celine Dion. Yeah. And that's supposed to be a joke. And then she says later on, when they do arrest her, she says, I'm going to call my agent. Now, ha-ha, hilarious. But here's the dark message. It has been celebrity that has sold us on this propaganda. It is celebrity. We're supposed to listen to celebrities in Hollywood. They know better. They believe better. This is why it was important on one of the occasions of the Oscars when Ricky Gervais got up and gave a monologue. And in the monologue, he began to exorcise. It was almost like casting out devils through comedy. He was telling the people, look, you've got no soul. He said, if Al-Qaeda started a live streaming service, you would have your agent call them. You don't care. And America doesn't care what you think. Your politics to them don't matter. He was shattering a well-known lie, which is celebrity is how the immunization that allowed this all to come. And celebrity is the way it's defended. And it's amazing that a guy like Elton John would stand up and say, you know, I'm going to leave America, which they never do. Barbara Streisand has repeatedly promised us she would leave. She right. never has. They don't leave, but they threaten as if the world is supposed to stop and say, Elton John is leaving? My goodness, then we better allow Target to do what they do. We better allow every transgender curriculum to be allowed in every school. But this is what you've got to understand. Now, this is what I mean with Tucker Carlson saying the arc of history. And something is at work. There are issues that are deeper than what's going on. If you realize that today, Celine Dion's commercial would be roundly rejected. And the reason is that the gloves are off, the camouflage has been exposed, and everyone will know that this is not just simple sales of children's clothing. This is advocacy. This is a movement. And that's where it is. It's the battle lines are now very clearly drawn. Todd?
That's right. That's right. This is the Babylon system, what we're talking about here. You know, I came from Hollywood. I often talk about this, Mario, but what Tucker is realizing is exactly what I realized when I came out of Hollywood. When I saw that there was a plumb line from government to Hollywood, I was like, why? Why is there a plumb line? You know, there's actually a commission that our government had called the Church Commission in the halls of Congress, where they actually talked about Operation Mockingbird. This is back in the 1960s, where there was an absolute connection between government and propagandists and the letter agencies and them implementing a strategy of predictive programming and propaganda through Hollywood. So what you're saying is basically that. And I think it's accelerated tremendously to the point where for many years, think about the 90s and the 2000s, how, you know, the Super Bowl shows, you were called a right. name, a weaponized term. You were called a conspiracy theorist or something worse if you thought that there was some type of symbolism, some type of satanic thing going on. Meanwhile, it's right there in our face, but we're told, don't believe what you're seeing. You know, and so for years, people have kind of kept it quiet. And what you're saying, Mario, is because of brave folks and people that are seeking the Lord, and we realize the hour is late, and yes, evil is, you know, the spirit of Antichrist is rising in the world, but so is this rising remnant. So is the discernment that the folks, you, people of God, that have been praying and fasting and calling upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord's giving you an unction and understanding in your spirit, and you've come to understand, I need to trust that still small voice. I need to trust the voice of the Lord that's speaking to me. So now it's all coming out. And to your point, people aren't taking it anymore, Mario. Now they're saying, wait a minute. We're not going to just sit back and have this weird, perverse commercial or this, you know, this brand that's pushing transgenderism on us. You know, they're saying, I'm not going to, you know, patronize those brands anymore. I'm not going to shop there. Yeah.
Nope. So. And the thing about it is let's look, let's reflect a little bit on the commercial one more time. She is saying one thing and doing another. Her dialogue, again, if you could hear the narrative, you would hear this wispy voice talking about this glorious rebirth of the infants. But her face is sinister. So the voice that you're hearing, the narrator, is up and friendly and seemingly loving, but the character is sinister. And she pulls out these black flecks out of the container and throws it. And she's lying because the commercial is giving you talking out of both sides of his mouth. On the one side, it's saying this enlightenment is coming. In other words, the infants themselves through evolution are going to discover that the binary world is antiquated just like dinosaurs. But the manipulation of it is her. She's the one throwing the stuff on them. She's the one making them change. If she wasn't there to do that, they would still remain male and female, which brings us to the truth about the LGBTQ agenda. They claim God made them this way, but they're making commercials that patently admit that it is being manipulated. And that is an incredible discovery right there.
That's right. You know, Mario, you were mentioning to me a scripture in Isaiah 60. I don't think we've read it yet, but it was Isaiah 62. Do you have that before you right now?
Yes. Well, I can quote it. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord will appear upon you." And it says, "Behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise upon you, and nations shall come to the rising of your glory." Now, I'm going to stop and comment on that. Polarity, the middle ground is being eaten up. We're going to watch the dawning of two species of humans, the on fire anointed, powerful, supernatural signs and wonders believer alongside of the demonically equipped vessel of darkness. And everything in between is going to go away. You're going to find no place in this battle, no place in this world. So the motivation for the future is that you get as strong as possible, which we're going to talk about later in the show when we talk about how that our lives are going to be used of God in an extraordinary manner. And it really is going to be a key to understanding what God wants us to do.
That's right. I think we got to go into the next video here because we want to show what's happening in these blue cities. As society is going off the moral cliff in all these different areas that we've already discussed, I want you to see the manifestation in the natural to the living conditions, to folks that are now addicted to drugs and alcohol, to fentanyl, to opioids, to all kinds of hard drugs. And this is the physical manifestation in the cities where this is really being pushed the most through the wicked tyrants they call their leaders in these states and cities. So let's go ahead and play this clip right now. So this is parts of Oakland, California that we're looking at right here. And you can just see the deterioration of the neighborhoods.
Well, it was rated the number one city that's being destroyed.
A neighbor who recently moved to the Tenderloin shot the video and says the men on the street are drug dealers. He's repeatedly told to stop dealing in front of his apartment building. When he lets them know he's recording, one of the men hurls a knife at the window, shattering it.
Hopefully we can build a case around what's going on in the neighborhood. Hopefully I can help the DA. Hopefully I can help the police with the evidence they need to just bring down what's going on out there, because it's not good.
I don't care how many arrests they've made. I don't care how many felony prosecutions. The strategy isn't working. The goal is to close the drug markets, and that's what we have to see.
So, Mario, this is an area that you know very well. Not only have you spoke there many times, you used to live in this area. What do you think when you watch this video?
Well, it's devastating because I grew up in San Francisco, but I also lived in Oakland. And Oakland has now been rated as one of the worst cities in America because they even have a section of the city that is an open drug market, meaning just like a farmer's market, but not for vegetables, for drugs.
Yeah.
And it's not being policed. And the most hilarious part of the video we just saw is the guy standing there and saying, hopefully I can make a case with the DA that George Soros helped to pay for, that it's is a friend happen. Of the criminal. So there is no hope there. And you can even tell he's even defeated in his tone of voice. And Randy Shaw, who you saw on the streets, that's the guy's name. He's talking about this is not working. None of it's working. And so what we're watching is what is happening is this now is so bizarre. And I think we've got a video of New York, the New York mayor, that we're going to show at some point. And then and then Bill Maher talking about it, showing the fissure, the rift between liberals. And I need the audience to listen to this. There's a difference between a liberal and a woke leftist. And it's night and day. They're not the same thing. We can literally work with liberals. I knew them in Berkeley. They believed in a thing called free speech, civil discourse. And they had a heart for the poor that was genuine. And they were solution oriented. Woke people are narrative driven, meaning we've got a story to tell. And that story is true, whether it works or not. And we don't care. And we will destroy anyone who gets in the way of the story continuing to be told. And so the rift between the liberal, and let me tell you who is another liberal, Robert Kennedy Jr., who is avidly against the vaccine because it hurts people. It's not because he's a conservative. He's an old style. We're talking about a Kennedy Democrat. And I wouldn't mind those. I would not mind those coming back. But this wokeism is what put all of those people on the street. That's what got that knife thrown through the window. It's the sum total of all of it, and it is spiritually based. And that's what I'm telling you, San Francisco and especially Oakland now, it's unlivable. And the people there that are living behind closed doors and keeping their shades down and not letting their children play on the streets, They're imprisoned by an insane policy. And we saw how insane it is in California. They continue to pass laws and policies that favor the criminal and put children in danger. That's what we're watching.
That's right. You know, I think about a time, you remember, Mario, when New York City was just, you know, horror. I mean, it's back to that point now, but this was going back a few decades ago, and Rudy Giuliani came in and cleaned up the city. And I remember there was a time when you didn't want to walk anywhere in New York City after hours. And when Giuliani came in and cleaned it up, it really made a massive difference. Any New Yorkers on here know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, of course, they're demeaning him. They're coming after him now because he supported President Trump and he stood for freedom in our country. But you got to think about this. It is possible to change, but we've got to get out of the reprobate mind. But it goes back to the spiritual problem, the spiritual dilemma that we're having. When you have pulpits that don't preach the entirety of the Word of God, when you have churches that are okay with same-sex marriage and bending the Bible and changing what it says, this is how you get to this place. So it's a real aha moment in time. And you have an urgency, and I have an urgency tonight, Mario, that we're sharing this, not to put fear in anybody's mind or heart, but to say, look, here's the problem, but here's the solution. We want to show you another video. This is New York. It's a very similar type of video, but Bill Maher is maybe one of those people you're talking about. I mean, he's been far left as far as I'm concerned, but it seems like he's starting to see some of these things. Let's go ahead and play that clip.
Hundreds have set up camp outside the city's iconic Roosevelt Hotel, and scenes like this are becoming far too common across the Big Apple. The situation is so dire that the city is now reportedly considering converting soccer fields used by children on Randall's Island to additional shelters. And now Mayor Eric Adams is calling for more help and sending this warning to resident New Yorkers.
Eventually, this was going to come to a neighborhood near you, and it is. We need to control the border. We need to call a state of emergency, and we need to properly fund this national crisis. We need help. We need help, and it's not going to get any better. From this moment on is downhill. There is no more room.
And Bill Maher is now calling out the leaders of the Democrat-run cities for failing to address the issue.
It's, again, the same principle as I was saying before about, like, the reverse of what liberalism really is. Liberalism is, for the sake of humanity and compassion, can we get these people off the streets? And woke is, how dare you ask them to move? This is their home.
They have rights.
No, it's not. There's got to be, there's easily a better solution to this. But instead, they put them in hotels? That's your answer, hotels? Could everybody just stop the posturing? Don't pretend that you love migrants so much, and then when we send them to you, you don't like them. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You're full of and we can see that. Yeah, you liked them when it wasn't your problem because you're not a border state. And then when they show up in Chicago and New York, you're like, what the fuck
is
going on?
What are
we going to do with these people?
Hey, we might
okay,
see
I gotta
show
say,
up at your tent. Yeah, go ahead.
He lives nearby, the one we're putting in here in L.A. in a few weeks. But let me tell you, the fact is that they were for open borders before they weren't. And the difference was they finally got to see the repercussions. Let me say this about woke, because I love to talk about woke. Is the one thing that woke never has is accountability. It is absolutely. It tells you trust the government. You know what? That's like hiring the weasel to guard the chicken coop. It tells you trust science when Big Pharma controls science. We're to mistrust. The whole point of the American system of government is based on mistrust. The checks and balances in each one of the legislative branches of the U.S. government are set in place because of mistrust of power. Now, we are at a point where we are being told, believe everything, believe all you hear, don't doubt it, don't question it, and if you do, you need to have your job taken away from you, you need to be silenced, your family needs to be oppressed. Now, anyone that can't see that that is gone into a demonic realm is refusing to face reality. And that's part of what we want. Now, Who is the preacher you can trust? Who is the preacher you can trust? The one that will say something in a pulpit that they know will cost them money, popularity, and acceptance. And when someone never does that, when truth always has to be spoken through the filter with questions of what will it do to my career, my popularity, my sales, if they have to run it through that filter, you cannot trust them. And that is the hour we're in, and that's what we've got to understand. Why is woke falling apart? Because it finally made it all the way from the border to their neighborhood. The limousine liberals who are woke finally had it under their own window. And that's when they realize this is an insane policy that's got to be fixed. It's right. Sad. In some ways, it's a dark humor, but it's happening with that. It's happening with food. It's happening with environmentalism. Each and every one of these straw arguments, these canards, are being exposed because they are finally having to live with the repercussions of their own policies. And this, right, to me, is part of the judgment of God, is what it is. Yes. It's the arc of history. It's the thing that Tucker is saying. The hand of God is moving in ways, and there's more to it. And God chooses strange people to get his work done. So this is what we're watching right now.
That's right. The people that are woke, they've been given over to reprobate minds. That's what really, I mean, it makes no sense. There's no facts. There's no statistics or any real data that can prove anything. They have to make stuff up, you know, if you think about it. Mario, you know, you said something earlier, and I wanted to just get your take on this. You were talking about in November 2019 that people were saying everything was going to be prosperity. And then 60 days later, you know, we look down into the pandemic, and, you know, imagine if somebody would have said some of these things that we're talking about. I want to get your take on that, because I thought that was real profound what you said.
Okay. I want to tell you that I just finished having brunch with 200 pastors in Los Angeles, getting ready for our 10th crusade. And I want to tell you, it was amazing. But the part that mattered is this. I'm looking right into the camera right now, and I'm telling you that in November of 2019, early December 2019, every prophet in America that I knew, with almost without exception, in fact, I know of no one that publicly disagreed with this prophetic general statement. 2020 will be a year of prosperity. 2020 will be a year of breakthrough. The churches will multiply. Money will come in. Favor is going to hit the church from all directions. 2 months later, like sheep without a shepherd, the American pastors locked down their churches in a shocking, stunning state of despair and confusion and bewilderment about how they were wrong. And the irony of it is, how did all those prophets miss it? How did they miss it so blatantly? And how, even more of a burning question, are people still listening to some of them who were the most adamant to say that 2020 was going to be wonderful? So now let's go back and imagine for a moment, if in November of 2020, a prophet got up and said the following: within 2 months, the churches will be forced to lock down by the government, says the Lord. Do not let them lock down your church, says the Lord. They're going to try to give you an injection. Don't take it, says the Lord, because it'll affect your heart. Now, if you obey the Lord and don't lock down and don't take the jab, you will be blessed and your church will grow. Now let's stop for a minute. Do you know that from all that I can perceive, the churches that refuse to let the government shut their doors have prospered, and they have gone on to grow in remarkable size, and they've been blessed. Now, but if a prophet had said that in November of 2019, they would have been scolded by the church as being negative, condemning, not of God, but they would have been right. And I'm going to tell you this, and I'm sorry I'm taking so long. It's kind of a monologue, but I'm going to get it out. Firepower has committed itself to always try to help you. Firepower has always committed itself to give you the authority of the believer and the word of God. But I'm giving you a warning right now. I'm acting like there's another November 2019 and we're in it right now, right here. And it's not love for me to keep this from you. Something is coming very soon that is going to amplify the power of government to silence you. And something is coming very soon that is going to spike censorship. You see, already we believe that it is loosened up. You and I, we're being told, okay, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, right, they've all lightened up. They have not lightened up. I know many powerful speakers that have lost 90% of their audience that was wiped out overnight. And since this declaration, oh, Twitter is here now, or you know, Joe Rogan is on Spotify and they kept him on and it's been a break. Not so. They have amped up their censorship. And there is a warning of the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is a church that doesn't have authority over demons, a church that is not leading people into the baptism in the Holy Spirit, a church that is not preaching the inerrant word of God, is going to literally be irrelevant in less than 2 years in the United States. We're being forced to go supernatural. We are living in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, where it says, "Behold their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may preach your word, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and let signs and wonders be done in the name of your holy servant Jesus." That's the hour we're in right now. That's the word of the Lord. Those that seek signs and wonders, those that seek to preach under the anointing, those that lead people into the baptism of the Holy Spirit will have virtually unlimited growth. All of the churches that rely on big screen, skinny jeans and fog machines are the dinosaurs, and they're going to collapse under the weight of their own irrelevance. You're not going to be ended by scandal, sir. That's not how it's going to happen, Pastor. You that have these mega church entertainment centers, it isn't a scandal that's going to end you. It's something far worse, irrelevance, because society simply won't find any use for you. But they will find use for the fire and the power of God that's falling. There, I've said it. Some of you don't like me now. That's okay. But because I know I'm prophesying in the Spirit, and what I'm saying is going to come to pass.
That's right. We're at a pivotal crossroads, Mario. I couldn't agree with more what you just said. This is what the Spirit has been speaking to me in my prayer time. I feel it's so important. I am hopeful, and this is why, because I think people are starting to understand this. And I think that a lot of people that were listening to real positive things, you know, everything's going to be great. You don't have to do anything. The military's in control. President Trump's still president. Whatever the narrative was, I think we've gotten to a point, at least I hope so, where most people have realized these things are untrue. But here's the thing. If we make a change, if we make a course correction as an entirety of the body of Christ, and we do what you just said, Mari, if we take a stand for righteousness, if we pull down the strongholds, if we get into our prayer closets and we start getting on our knees and our faces before the Lord, if we cry out for this nation, if we repent, if we do what it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if we actually do what the scripture says, then we're going to see the results that we really want to see. We're going to see the Lord's hand move on our behalf. We have to take a stand. We can't think that somebody else is going to fight our battles. And listen, you and I have both paid a price at some extent, although I do think that in the end, it's actually turned for our favor in the end. But I can think of some people that were very upset when I took certain stands. You took certain stands. But yet, you know what, as time goes on, the truth is the best time. The time is the best truth teller. You know, as time goes on, you see what's true and what's not. And so now we're at this pivotal moment. So we've got to make this as an entirety, as a body of Christ, to understand it is high time we get involved. We do what the scripture says. We don't rely on somebody else to fight our battle for us. But is it winnable? I believe it is. What do you say to that, Mario?
Yes. And, you know, the proof that it's winnable is that we're still here. Because the first object of a commanding officer is to always remove his army from certain disaster and annihilation. The proof that we can win, we're still here. You know, I'm looking right now at what's going on with children. And there are children being visited by the Lord. Just as there are adults that are abusing children, there's a visitation of God going on with children around the world. And we're hearing reports of suddenly children saying things with wisdom beyond their years that are influencing churches and people. And doesn't that sound like Jesus? He wouldn't leave children to be merely the victims of an adult army of perverts and people with such evil intention. No, that's not our God. He's at work. The angels are at work. The balancing factor again. And you know, I'm going to tell you, we're talking about the arc of history. When Winston Churchill was in college, he had a dream. And it's amazing that I want to tell you that it's an amazing story. And the only reason I want to, this was Sir Merlin Evans, who was a classmate of Winston Churchill. This was in 1891. It was a summer evening and they were discussing their futures, fellow classmates, Evans and Churchill. And one said, "What are you going to do in the future? Will you go in the army?" And Winston Churchill said, "I don't know. It's probable, but I shall have great adventures beginning soon after I leave here." He had this dream and he said, "Are you going into politics, following your famous father?" Because Winston Churchill's dad was famous. He said, "I don't know, but it is more than likely because you see, I am not afraid to speak in public." "You do not seem," his classmate said, this was Merlin that said this, "you do not seem all clear about your intentions and desires." That's when he said it. "That may be, but I have a wonderful idea of where I shall be eventually, and I have dreams about it." "Where is that?" I inquired. "Well, I see vast changes coming over a now peaceful world. Great upheavals, terrible struggles, wars such as one cannot imagine." He's saying this in 1891. "And I tell you, London will be in danger. London will be attacked, and I shall be very prominent in the defense of London." His classmate said, "How can you talk like that?" I said, "We are forever safe from invasion since the days of Napoleon. It's like England can't be invaded," he's saying. "I see further ahead than you do. I see into the future. This country will be subjected somehow to a tremendous invasion. By what means, I do not know." But warming up to his subject, he said, "I tell you, I shall be in command of the defenses of London, and I shall save London and England from disaster." Winston Churchill knew his future. Watching me right now are many of you who are alarmed, dismayed, and overcome by the condition of America. But there are eagles listening to me. There are spiritual lions listening to me. And I know you feel it, Todd. They feel that they are here for some grand purpose. What you've got to understand is you cannot dull that inward prophetic sense of why you're in America. You're here and you're going to do something amazing. You're going to invent something amazing. You're going to write something amazing. That's who you are. And I really feel that it is a very, very powerful moment for us to talk about that, because we have got to now discuss the role of the people of God in this. Now, every Friday night in Gallatin, Tennessee, you're having services. And something unusual is happening in your services. And one thing I've noticed is, because I know you and I've known you for some time, there's something new on you, Todd. There's something new on your ministry and your life. And you're preaching things that you've never preached before. And the audiences are having a total different reaction to you than what you have seen in the past. Tell the people a little bit about what's going on in Gallatin.
Yeah. You know, the gloves are off, but in a good way. You know, here's the thing. The Lord's been put on my heart, consecration, come out from among them. In fact, I wrote that book, Come Out From Among Them. Mario, that has meant more than I ever felt or knew that it would. And this was 2 years ago that the Lord started speaking this in August. And in that 2 year period of just going deeper in the scripture and what's important and getting rid of the fluff. You know, you mentioned the skinny jeans and lattes and smoke machines and things like that, but all the entertainment factors, what are the things that are not from God? What is it? What's religious versus relationship? And what is God actually calling us to do? Because if we all think about this, we all have a part in this hour. We have a part to play. Some people say, well, what can I do? You have an influence. You have people in your life, whether it's two people or 10 people or 100 people or 1,000 people. It doesn't matter. God has trusted you with an influence over those people, your kids, your grandkids. And I believe this is the time that we don't hold back anymore, Mario. We can't worry about what people think. And of course, we do it in love. We do it in the proper way. But we've got to speak the truth because the scripture says it's the truth that sets the captive free. And we can't worry about taking a public opinion poll on what everybody says about us. What's this one going to think? What's that one going to think? Listen, look at the lateness of the hour right now. We're going to stand before the throne one day. And that's how I look at it, Mario, is that, you know, I'm going to have to answer to God. And even right now in my life, I have a daughter that, you know, just started her first day of preschool. I mean, there's so much going on. I got to stand for her generation. I got to stand for my wife, for my family, for my parents. This country is in a very pivotal crossroads, and we need preachers like yourself that aren't afraid to speak the truth. And the folks that are watching, you've been criticized. You've had people tell you you're crazy. You've had people want to leave your life. Listen, let them go. You know what? If they're going to leave, but when you speak the truth, something's happening. They're getting convicted. Their demons are being stirred. That's why they don't want to hear the truth. But for so many years, the church skirted around these issues. And it got to the point where it takes a former Fox News guy. Think about this. God is using the most unique people right now because, unfortunately, members of the church with the big platforms haven't said it. And so Tucker Carlson has had an encounter with God. He's reading the scripture and he's saying, this is the most interesting book that I've ever read. There's so much to it. And I guarantee you, I've never, Mario, seen a lover of the word be unsuccessful in life. In every area, I'm telling you, if you love the word, if you make it about souls, you're not going to have a financial challenge. You're not going to be, I'm telling you, there will be warfare. There will be warfare, but the Lord is with you and he will take you from glory to glory. He will guide your path. He will order your steps. He will put his favor and blessing. If you make it about the business of the Lord, if you actually do what the scripture says, that pleases God so much because he gave us free will. But then we do what he wants. You know, we're pleasing the Lord. He's a good father. He's going to be with us, and you're going to see what Mario and I are experiencing, where people are coming to the altar on Friday night, Mario. I'm telling you, they're getting healed. They're getting set free. They're getting delivered right there. In fact, the other night, we didn't even make it through the worship set. People were already coming up to the altar, you know, and this is the way it's. We've got to let the Spirit of God move in our churches. The Bible says, my house shall be a house of prayer. We've got to get back to praying. We should open the doors more than one day a week. I'm telling you, we have the resources in the body. We have the buildings. We have the facilities. It's been misallocated. And this is the time that we course correct, we get it right, and we step up. And I think it's an opportune moment. God is not done moving in America. We've just highlighted a couple of things tonight that God is still doing, and he is not done. And Mario, you're going to be going out to Los Angeles. And this is really important to me because this is a city that I pastored in for 17 years. I know the city very well. In fact, I even know that behind you, that's the 405 freeway that I've spent a good portion of my life on. Why don't you talk a little bit about what's going to happen out there?
Well, we have a video about which I want to set up. It's a short video about the most nervous moment in my life when I had purchased a 40,000 square foot tent. We had gone from a average attendance of 2,500, and now we had a tent that could seat 5,000. And this is the first Sunday service that we ever had in it in a crusade in Colorado Springs. And I was wondering, are we going to fill it? Have I overspent? Am I a crazy person? And not on, and well, I'll let the video run.
But I'm gonna add one point. Every time you worship the Lord, you get younger. Your joints get stronger. You get flexible. Your regular sleep pattern will come back. Now, I'm gonna of you want to help me to obey God tonight? Raise your hand. I need to get all of this army back in your seats.
What we have there is all the youth that were at the front, 400 to 500 of them. We set up every seat we had. I didn't think we'd use them all. We used them all. And it's optically difficult to understand the difference between sometime between our new tent and our old tent, because this one, the depth is what's the real deal. It isn't the width. It's twice as wide as our last tent. So we have doubled the rows going out, and that's where thousands and thousands came. Now, we just finished that brunch in LA that I told you about. I'll just make mention of it real quick, and I appreciate the opportunity to say this. We had Victory Outreach leadership there. We had the Way World Outreach from San Bernardino and seven other campuses that have jumped into this crusade. The Korean churches have united with us. Cheon's executive pastor and leadership were at the brunch saying, we're there. Many remember Bob Shuler, his daughter Sheila Shuler was at the brunch. We've had a wide spectrum of support among the churches, the largest number of churches that have ever backed a crusade. And now hundreds and hundreds of people need to come to Los Angeles. And all you got to do is go to MarioMurillo.org to volunteer to come to LA. And I've got some good news for you. LA has been hit economically. I'm not saying that's the good news, okay? What I'm saying is that the hotels are not as expensive as you'd think. Around the fairgrounds, there's some really bargain rates for some nice hotels. In fact, people have gone to our website, said, can you help me get a hotel room? Listen, when you go online and you look at the various sites that there are, they do a much better job than we ever could. And there are a lot of things out there. Now, go to MarioMurillo.org to be a part of this crusade. The Holy Spirit has made it very clear to me that LA has been used of God to cause reformation. And time after time, we're talking about the city where Billy Graham was launched, the city where Amy McPherson built Angelus Temple, the city that had the Jesus movement, and the city where Azusa Street happened that now encompasses 600 million spirit-filled Pentecostals around the world. This is an amazing place, and God's hand is on our venture. At the very least, pray for us. But most of all, if you can volunteer, go to our website, MarioMurillo.org, and register to be a part of what I believe will be the greatest display of signs and wonders that we have ever seen. And it's coming in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. We're in a time when the studios are striking. I just saw there's like all these city workers out in LA are going to be striking. It's a real flashpoint of a time out there in Los Angeles and in that whole territory. And then here comes the tent. You know what I'm saying? So we just saw Sound of Freedom, just completely go off the expectations, off the charts around Hollywood. I mean, we're seeing really disruptive things. There were people we just mentioned last week that were out in Hollywood on the streets. We're seeing the baptisms going on out there. This is a culmination moment, and you don't want to miss being a part of this. And definitely, think about being a volunteer. I think it's going to mark your life. I really do. And if you know somebody that would be a volunteer, send this video to them. Let them know as well. Because, Mario, I just have an expectation in my spirit. I just feel like something very special is going to happen in Los Angeles, you know?
Well, I know you're coming out, too.
That's right.
And we're going to actually film Firepower from the tent. We're going to do it.
Come on.
We're going to film it from the tent. And we already have tens of thousands that watch whenever we live stream our crusades. It goes around the world. And I'm going to be thrilled to have you there on that stage. And we're just going to have Firepower right from the tent itself on that Wednesday night. That'll be the 13th of September. So the 10th crusade is the 10th. the 10th through the 13th, starting on Sunday, 7 p.m. We have free parking. We have air conditioning, and wow, all the seats are free. God has provided for all of this. It's going to be amazing. 5,000 free seats in Los Angeles.
At the fairgrounds.
At the fairgrounds.
People that aren't from LA don't understand how big this is. Like, see, I was there for so many years. I understand what this means. I mean, we have not had anything like this in Los Angeles that I know of at this caliber, you know? So, wow. Okay. Well, listen, what a powerful show tonight. We've covered a lot of things. Before we go, I had something on my heart, Mario, and then I want to hand it over to you.
Yes.
You know, I felt like, you know, as we talk about a lot of this stuff, the LGBTQ and all the different things that are going on, I just want to speak to the parents, because I know I get letters and you say, my child is dealing with this, or I'm in this battle. I just want to encourage you tonight, parent, grandparent, don't stop fighting. Don't stop praying. Your prayers are heard. I always say there's nothing more powerful than a praying parent. And just continue. The Lord is moving on your behalf. Yes, it's a battle. And trust me, I understand, because we minister all the time to people in this situation. I have also had to deal with similar types of things in our family. We get it. But I also know God is in control. He's bigger. He's more powerful. The battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against strongholds and principalities. And there is a reason why you're an intercessor. There's a reason why you know these things, because God has equipped you and made you battle ready for this time. So keep pressing ahead. There is a solution. His name is Jesus Christ. He took a wretch like me, saved me from a life of sin and death, out of the depths of Hollywood and evil and decrepity. And look what he's done. And I'm telling you, I'm no better than anybody watching this. What he did for me, he'll do for you. Keep praying. Don't give up. Somebody needed to hear that tonight. Mario, why don't you take us out?
Well, I'm going to take you out right now, folks. I want you to listen to this. Young man, juvenile delinquent, is at his therapist. Therapist asked him a question to test his mind. He said, what would you do if a lion jumped through that window at you right now? And without batting an eye, the young delinquent said, I would raise my rifle and shoot. And the baffled therapist said, where did you get that rifle? He said, well, where did you get that lion? And that truth is ours. If there are lions jumping through windows, God is going to anoint his people with special weapons to face it. God didn't insult you by letting you be born in a dark season. He's honoring you with the capacity to glorify his name in a special way. You are now alongside of the Bible heroes who, in impossible times, in difficulties that were indescribable, were chosen by God to exercise faith and be mighty. God has honored you to live in this time. He didn't insult you. He's not trying to scare you. He's trying to equip you. And Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for this night that we've had firepower. And we have been allowed by the Holy Spirit to bring this message to the people. We've told the truth, God. And now we want it to get in the hearts of people. But we especially pray for those who are watching that need Christ and need right now to know that he is the answer and the truth. And that by opening their heart and saying, Jesus is Lord, I repent of my sin and I believe he rose from the dead. And they turn from their own way to serve God, they shall be saved. Lord, I thank you that you have moved through this broadcast in a mighty way. And we will see all of you next Wednesday, same time, in the name of Jesus. Amen.